Pretty powerful message there, huh? Okay. I should have brought a box of tissues. No, I'm just kidding. I won't need them. I hope this message that I'm going to bring you this morning comes out understandable and makes sense. I'm going to intermix a little Hope Hill stories with a little bit of my journey the last month as I prepared for Hope Hill. And then a little bits and pieces off of some messages that I've heard over the last month or so that God's really kind of tweaked me a little bit. I think it will all come together nice. That's my prayer anyway this morning. If you could see my notes up here, you would think that makes absolutely no sense. But it's all here and it'll all be good. I want to start with just one scripture. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 12. You can jot that down. You can open up to it, whichever you prefer. Just a short scripture. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Christ strengthened me, considered me faithful, put me into service. Verse 12 is kind of the key here today. I want you to keep that in the back of your heads as I share this morning. Because I think it's important to know that Christ Jesus our Lord, just that verse, he strengthened me, he considered me faithful and put me into service. I'm going to start the service this morning with a confession. Because if you'd asked me a month ago if I were even going to Hope Hill, I would have said no. Due to a variety of circumstances, a variety of things that have been transpiring, I was this close to just canceling the trip totally. And I'm going to share with you why here, and it'll come out throughout the message. And then I read that scripture. And then I prayed, and then I heard from God a few times. And then I went to Hope Hill. Basically, what God told me was, you go to Hope Hill if you get in your car and you go by yourself. I'm sending you. I will strengthen you. I will enable you. I consider you faithful, so go do what I've called you to do. The dates were changed. People that could go, couldn't go, etc., etc. I didn't hear from Hope Hill. I'd send them an email. I'd get a short, yep, your dates are good. Asked to do certain things. Got pretty much no response from Hope Hill for last month, month and a half. Which is similar to what happened last year about this time. And much to my fault, probably, I canceled last year's trip just because of all that was going on. And I look back now and I think, what did I miss last year? And that was part of the reason that even if I went by myself, I was going this year. I took a week off work without pay. People that could go, couldn't go. And then I had a call from my daughter. The date change actually made her able to go. Then there were two. And then I got a call from Chris Rook, who hasn't been in many years for various reasons. He said, I need to go. And then there were three. And there it stopped. And I said, okay, God, three. And then I was reminded of Gideon. And how God kept reducing his numbers and reducing his numbers and so on. And I thought, well, if it worked for Gideon, it can work for me. So now in the back of my head, the enemy is still there. He's still saying, okay, you've got three. So what? There's 40 of them. 40 is the maximum number of girls that can be on the hill at a time. So now in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, 3 against 40, that's not very good odds either. But I said, okay, if Gideon could do it, Tim can do it. So I took my three people and I went to Hope Hill. Now here's God's fuzzy math. I get to Hope Hill, there's 12 girls on the hill. Now it's 3 against 12. That I can do. So God took that impossible in my head situation and turned it into a very possible situation. And that's why I showed this video to the girls as my Sunday evening opener, so to speak. Because the girls at Hope Hill, for those of you who don't know, Hope Hill is a children's home. The girls range, I think the youngest in this particular case was 13 up until they're 18 when they can sign themselves out. These are the girls that for whatever reason can't be placed anywhere else. These are girls that are hopeless. They face impossible odds of what we would classify as a normal life. God gave me this video, Katie, about a week before we left. We were looking at videos, another one Katie wanted to show, and this one came up, and I thought, that fits it pretty well. So what God did was he took that impossible Tim situation, and he turned it into a situation where we have had more one-on-one sharing time with those girls this visit than we've had in the 13 or so years we've been going. Normally, you don't get that level of intimacy. You're normally in a larger group. There's a lot of chaos, confusion. I'll share as we go. We had several opportunities of one-on-one discussion, talk, prayer with some of the girls, which is typically unheard of because of the controls. So the impossibles, right? God took an impossible Tim situation and turned it into a great ministry. We planted a lot of seeds, talked to a lot of girls, prayed with a lot of girls. So God can use those impossibles and turn them into great things. So he took all of my walls and he knocked them down and he said, go. I'm going to share one story in a little bit about a young lady, but first I want to share a little bit more about Hope Hill so that you can pray for them. The reason they were down to 12 girls is because they are a state-funded, they take funding from the state of Kentucky. They're also a Christian-based school, so it's kind of they have both worlds they have to live in. But about 2.5-3 months ago, the state came in with a surprise inspection audit and would have shut the place down, but for the grace of God. There were 8 girls that could not be placed anywhere else. So they had to let them stay open. But they took all the rest of the girls and moved them to other facilities or other settings that they could be managed at a lesser level. Which, in looking back now, I think that's about the time that Hope Hill stopped communicating with me. They were a little busy. But I could have taken their silence and not gone. But God worked it out. But they've been dealing with a lot of issues. They've lost a lot of key staff. They've had to come under a very rigid scrutiny to meet state standards, even to the point where the state is trying to tell them they can't pray in school. So they're still under battle, so continue to pray for Hope Hill. They are now able to admit girls again. They were up to 12 when we left. But they've been battling a little bit. But again, God is good. Faithful core group is still there. They are still praying in their school. They meet and pray daily. They are still a Christian-based organization. They still have chapel. They still all offer that level of care as well as the normal schooling. So praise God for that. But that's what's going on at Hope Hill. A lot of great things, but also some challenges and some struggles. So that just kind of gets you up to date in the loop. But now I have my walls. Think about that video. We all have walls, things that we consider impossibles for God. I have another wall that just popped up this morning. which I'm not going to share about. But even this morning, a wall got thrown up in my face via a voicemail on my phone that I hadn't checked for a couple of days. We all have those things that we consider impossible things, right? Rather, it's something God has called us to do or just life challenges, things that we need to deal with. My question to you is, what are you going to do about it? I faced one of my walls. I went to Kentucky. Some of you may be thinking that wasn't that big a deal. Well, for me, it was. It was a huge deal. And to go down to Hope Hill and then be faced with even more challenges while we were there that God just one by one overcame. Even simple things, you would call them simple things. We shared on Sunday night, and they have a small chapel, and they have a sound system. Some of you may be familiar with their sound system. But we're playing these videos and stuff, and there's so much static, you can hardly hear the video on Sunday. So after the service, I forget which day it was, Chris asked the pastor, he says, "What's wrong with your sound?" He said, "I don't know, we've tried this and this and this, we can't fix it." Chris says, "Do you mind if I look?" Chris opens this thing up, unplugs this wire, plugs it back in, turns the sound back up, perfect. The pastor comes in, he hears us playing music, he says, "Did you fix it?" Chris said, "I didn't fix it, God did." Chris didn't, he don't even know what he did, he just unplugged the wire, plugged it back in. You know, God things. This guy's thinking he's going to have to find a budget to replace the sound system so they can do worship, and God took care of it. All through the week, those type of things happened. But I want you to be thinking as you go, what are your impossibles? The girls at Hope Hill face all kind of impossibles. You wouldn't even want to know some of their stories. And I'm not going to share them because it's just, they're heart-wrenching, horrible things that these girls have been through in their lives. But think of how they feel with those impossible situations that they face. Homelessness, addictions, abuse, starvation, just the list goes on and on. We have it made. Our impossibles seem like nothing compared to what some of the girls go through. So I want you to be thinking of your impossibles, though. The girls at Hope Hill, hopefully after, they actually get the opportunity to go to church. They have a choice, though. They don't have to. But they are being exposed at least to some things. After I showed that video, the Lord opened up many opportunities. We talked through these characters that were in this video. We played a game of Pictionary, Bible Pictionary, I called it. I made it up myself. Well, Katie and I made it up. Every time they drew a word, maybe a castle or a boat or a whale or whatever, then we would talk that story through. And it generated such cool discussion with the girls. Many of them knew some of the stories. Some of them didn't know the stories, or they knew bits and pieces, but we're able to kind of talk through those stories with them. And as the week went on, you could see little glimmers of maybe there are things. You could tell by the conversations we were having, the things we were talking about. And then near the end of the week, on Wednesday, we showed the movie Left Behind, the new version. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's been out a couple years now. But we showed that just as a, let's see what kind of conversation we can generate here. And the discussions were tremendously cool and really deep stuff. And I thank God that He put words in my mouth to field all the questions that were getting thrown at me. What was it, Wednesday night, Katie? They were, we had a session at the place we were staying, and the girls, I opened up the can of worms, so to speak, and said, "Hey, anybody got any questions about that movie?" Man, I'm glad God had control of that one, because they were like, boom, boom, what about this? What about that? How's that work? But we have never had that. Usually they're very hard and closed. They'll talk about any of the nonsense, but they really typically don't want to talk about those type of things. So it was really cool. But I want to move on. About a month ago or so, get to the right note page here. I attended a... I've been working down in Harrisburg, which is one of my walls. I'm currently working out of town, and I can't stand it. But I was... God moments. Working in Harrisburg, the place I'm working is like 4 miles from the Life Center, which is a big church down there that we go, and they have a lot of stuff going on. So on Wednesday night, I went and heard a speaker named John James. Anybody familiar with the Newsboys of old? The Newsboys of old. There's Chrissy. Who's John James, Chrissy?
He was
the
lead singer.
Lead singer and kind of founder of the Newsboys back in that era. But he shared it. He came and shared on one of the Wednesday evening things. I want to pull a few points that he had. He had a very powerful testimony. I'm not going to share it all. You can probably YouTube him or Google his website and find that stuff out. But one of the points he made was that we can all be a catalyst to change a life. You believe that? We all have that potential to change a life through the power of God. We have to decide each day, are we going to fulfill that destiny, that prophetic calling, as you will, that God has given us. He's gifted all of us. He's called all of us. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples. It doesn't say, Tim, go and make disciples. We're all called to go and do the Lord's work. But he made the point that we can all be catalysts to change a life. And it struck me as, and this was during that time where I was thinking, am I even going to Hope Hill? God provided this guy at that time to kind of spur me along, right? So we can all be catalysts. We're all called to change lives. I had the opportunity and a couple that went with me to plant some seeds. And I don't know if I changed any lives this week, but I know I did what God called me to do this week. And I know I planted a lot of seeds that if I had not gone would not have been planted. I don't know the outcome of anything I did this week. But I know I went, and I know I did what God called me to do this week. I do know if I had not gone, none of those seeds would have been planted. And those girls that I did not get a chance to talk to would remain hopeless and angry and bitter. But by going, by being a catalyst to change a life, maybe one of those girls got it, right? About 4 years ago, we went down. I wish Carolyn were here today. Buffy, you might remember Elizabeth. Bailey, you might remember Elizabeth. About 4 years ago now. Elizabeth is, well, she drove the truck with us too. I don't know if you were in that truck driving experience. But Elizabeth was a girl that left Hope Hill about 4 years ago. Elizabeth, sometime soon, I don't know when their graduation schedule is, graduating Moorhead University in Kentucky with honors this year. This is a girl from Hope Hill who, when we met her 4 or 5 years ago, was a hopeless, angry, bitter young lady. I don't know if anything that we influenced over those years made a difference. But whoever went, whatever work camp, whatever person went and first broke the ice with Elizabeth, planted some seeds that have now matured, and she has turned into a fine Christian young lady who is making it. That's what we do when we go. I don't know the outcomes. Hopefully one day I'll get to heaven and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Look at that. I don't know if that's how it's going to be, but I hope so, because it'd be nice to see the influences that we have when we trust and obey our Father and go do what He tells us to do. So that's just one example I had to throw in there. But the key is, and the point I want to make with this, those impossible walls, the walls that we think there are things that we just cannot do, behind that wall, there is something that God has probably told most of us to do, an impossible. And I ask, what's holding you back? If God gives you a dream, a vision, a thing to do, step out and do it. I guarantee you God will bless that. But you have to take the action. You can't stay behind the wall. Well, you can stay behind the wall and do nothing, or you can go through the wall and get to work with what God's got you to do. Back to John James, the newsboy guy. He basically was the founder of the Newsboys. Short version of his story is, formed the group, came to America, became rich and famous, lost everything to the point where he was going to commit suicide. And what happened was, he lost sight of God along the journey. God had the dream. He stepped out. He acted. He was passionate. He was determined. He was hardworking. And then he became successful and he stopped paying attention to God. It became about the success and the glam and the fame and all that. And he ended up losing it all. Very powerful testimony. I encourage you to go listen to it sometime if you haven't. But the point I want to make here is you don't have to have all the answers. God gave me a word a couple of months ago. He said, I will give you a piece of the vision, and I'm going to wait until you act on it before I show you what's next. He told me that. He said, just go do what I tell you, and I will bless it, and I will give you the next. He didn't reveal the whole thing. I don't think God's going to reveal the whole plan to us because, well, I don't know why he won't, but he's not going to. He told me, just step at a time, trust me, act, and I will take care of it. I'm going to share in a minute a little bit more of that, but we have to trust and obey. There's songs about it. There's verses about it. We have to just get started and do what God tells you to do. And then he's going to reveal and bless. Actually, Pete Logan from the Fountain of Life down in Harrisburg, I went to one of his services, and he said he's got a cafe or something downtown. He had that vision like 10 years ago, and he didn't do it because he's waiting to get all his ducks in a row. And then one day God got his ducks in a row and said, just go do it, Pete. And he shared with us in a short message, he said, I could have had that cafe probably 6-7 years ago, but I was waiting until I had everything in order, waiting for the big picture. And he missed out on all that opportunity that he could have had just by trusting and doing. But God kept putting all of these little things in my head, I think, to prepare me for Hope Hill and what's next, which he has not revealed to me yet. But he's opening some doors and closing others for me. So we all have our walls. We all have our situations that we're just not overcoming. And we need to overcome them by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. God's revealing that plan to me. I am going to share a little bit because I think it's relevant to what I'm talking about. And then I'll get back to Hope Hill. But I've been praying earnestly that God would, for the Hope Hill situation, but also just in my own situation. I've been facing some struggles lately with work situations and different things, which I've never had to deal with. I'm a therapist. I've always had work. I've always been successful and good at it. But the last 8-9 months have been just horrendous work-wise for me. And I haven't been able to figure out why. I'm just trusting that God will provide the next thing. But I was listening to a sermon on tape that actually my wife got at the Life Center, the service we went to. I forget the speaker now, but I'm listening to this tape, and it's about fulfilling God's call on your life. And as I'm listening, I'm driving back from Harrisburg, nothing else to do but listen to tapes and music on for the 2 hours. So I'm listening to the tape. I pop it in. I'm listening and kind of praying as I go along. And in my head, the word passport comes to mind. Okay? Now just keep that thought. I'm thinking passport. Thinking I have one. You know, and that's all I got out of the message is this passport. All right, okay. A few weeks later, we attend a service down at the Life Center. Very good message. I couldn't tell you what it's about right now. That's how good it was. Sorry. Oh, it's about the Trinity. Yeah. But I went to the altar at the end of service. I don't know if any of you believe in any of this, being slain in the spirit or God talking to you. If you do, great. If you don't, I encourage you to talk to people that have had that experience later. But I went to the altar. I'm standing with my eyes closed praying just that God would reveal more to me. I remember the speaker coming over and touching my hand. And then I remember Don coming up and saying, "We're leaving." I'm told it was about 20 minutes. I don't know. During that time, I just had a tremendous sense of peace. And whether it's God, I didn't hear an audible voice from God, but in my head, a tremendous sense of peace. Trust me and use the passport. Again, the passport thing. And then it came to me. This is one of my walls. 11 years ago, I got a passport to go overseas on missions. I have not gone. The passport is now expired, and I've got to get another one. I can't tell you why I haven't gone, but it seems like every time an opportunity comes up, I always have these walls that I put up. I don't know why I have the walls. Because 1 Timothy says, "He considered me faithful and trustworthy and put me into service." So I don't know why I have the walls. But God is slowly breaking them walls down. And I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm going to get another passport. And I'm going to go when He tells me to go this time. I'm not going to wait 11 more years to use the passport. But I kept putting up these walls. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. I can't afford that. And I wonder over them 11 years what I haven't done that I was supposed to do by not going. But I can't change the past. But I can affect the future. And that's what I want you to go with. If there's something you've been putting up them walls and you haven't gone and done, you haven't fulfill the dream or some destiny that you think you have, go for it. Don't wait 11 more stinking years like I did. Go do it. God will bless the faithfulness, whatever that is. John James, in his message that he shared, said, "Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, a new believer, an old believer, 17 years old or 77 years old. Doesn't matter. God's given us all stuff to do. The enemy puts up the walls. We need to just blast through them and go do what we're called to do. We're called to action. Now back to Hope Hill a little bit because I don't want to lose sight of that. More God moments. Three people, 12 girls. Pretty darn good odds now. Normally we're allowed to eat breakfast with them, as in when they sit there in their little huddles, you can squeeze in with a cup of coffee and say hi and mingle a little bit. We were allowed to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or dinner and supper if you're in Kentucky. I forget how it is. She kept saying, "It's time for supper." I said, "What do you mean, dinner?" I couldn't quite keep up with them. But all three meals. Now, get this. Buffy's chuckling. You know how they swarm in, Buff, and they all go to their table? And then you got to try and... They weren't allowed to sit with each other. Maximum of two per table, which leaves two empty chairs because they're four-person tables. So no matter what meal, what time, we were able to sit with one, maximum of two girls, and actually have conversation and eat with them. I'm not sure I really would want to eat with them all the time forever, because it was state institutional food meals. But it opened up a tremendous opportunity. And by having only 12, there's been times where 40 girls later on other trips, I don't even know all their names by the end of the week. I know all their names. I know all their basic stories. I know kind of where they're from. They're all from a county in Kentucky. I know what kind of food they like. I know what kind of songs they listen to. We had tremendous interaction that we rarely have. Another God opening doors. He took down walls and he opened doors. So we all ate all our meals with him. We got to do service with him twice. We had him over at we call it our house. It's the Rice Center. It's where we stayed, the lodging we stay in each evening. But I had the same girls every day, every session, all week long. Normally it's like you get this house on Monday and this house on Tuesday and this house on Wednesday because they all live in little cottages. Because there's a small numbers, they were able to bring them all together. We didn't always have 12. It depends a lot on behavior and appointments and other things going on. But we had a manageable group that we were able to actually connect with a little more than usual. So it was a tremendous example of God knocking down walls for us. And it's also a tremendous example of how God works those miracles. I'm going to share one last Hope Hill story. After we had shown the movie on Wednesday, Left Behind, and then had a very interesting conversation Wednesday evening with the 12 girls, Chris Rook came to me and he said, God gave me a word for one of the young ladies' name was Brooklyn. He said, God gave me a word for Brooklyn, but I don't know how I'm ever going to get her by herself. Because even in the cafeteria, he didn't want to sit down at a table with her where other people could hear. He wanted to not embarrass her or cause any trouble for her. Because the girls are very in each other's business. I don't know if any of you have more than one teenager in the house, but they kind of are in each other's business pretty regular. And there's a few of them that were pretty defiant, pretty angry, pretty not with the program that would have really picked on her and given her grief about talking to us. So we prayed, God, open the door that we can do this. Thursday night, we had them over to the house. We had, I don't think we had all of them. There was one or two maybe that couldn't come over, but we had a pretty good amount of them. And we didn't really have anything formal planned, but we were just talking and interacting a little bit. And for whatever reason, the girls were very out of control. Yelling at the teacher. I call them teachers. Each house has two people that have to be with that group at all time. So there's four staff members. I think 10 or 11 girls. I forget how many. But the situation kept escalating and escalating. And then one of the girls kind of stormed out, so one of the staff went after her. She's walking down the road. She's leaving. So one of the staff is with her now. There's three. Situation's escalating. I'm thinking, we need to, like, just move aside. It was getting that bad. And I think a lot of what that was the enemy saying, this is your last night. I am not letting you have any good conversation with these girls tonight. Because they were escalating. We weren't going to have prayer with them, let's just say. Kept escalating. Another girl goes out, another staff member. Finally, they decide, okay, these five or six that are, we're going back to the house. And it's earlier than expected, and the girls like their free time, so they're rebelling because, no, we ain't going back to the house because it ain't time yet. It's escalating. Voices are getting louder. Now, four staff, two groups, supposed to be two with each group. It takes three of them to get these one group herded down the road with any semblance of order. So now there's one staff, which is totally like against the rules anyway. But they were with the higher level girls, the ones that are kind of transitioning, kind of getting near the end of their program. So they left her with a radio and said, we'll be back. So she's here with us, and four girls, I think, was left. The other group, you can hear them going down the road, and you can hear the chatter on the radio. You know, and they're calling for reinforcements from the other places just to make sure they get them back. So this one young lady, Amanda, she's sitting in the chair, and you can tell she's like, I hope nothing goes wrong because I'm by myself. Three of the girls were very good. One of the girls, Brooklyn, gets up and storms out the door. And this staff member is like, now what do I do? So she goes and stands in the door. Luckily, the girl stopped on the porch and sat on one of the swings. Here's where God comes in. The enemy had that situation to where it would be so disruptive, so unable for us to do ministry. The girls were acting out. The staff were overwhelmed. Total chaos. Four girls left. Three of them behaving. One storms out. The staff member's like sitting there. She's got a radio like, I should maybe call somebody. But there's nobody to call. I'm sitting in here and Chris Rook's sitting across the room from me. And I look over at him and I like point over my shoulder. Here's your opportunity, dude. That's the girl you want to talk to. Go talk to her. So Chris and I look at Amanda that's sitting there, and can he go out there? You know, that kind of thing. Because normally you don't go one-on-one with the girls. I think at that point she was so, like, overwhelmed. She's like, sure, that way somebody's with her, and I can watch the other ones. So Chris goes over, outside on the porch swing, is able to share with Brooklyn, who is one of the toughest. She wouldn't share anything. She'd give you nothing but lip all week long. He shared what God told him to say. Simple one-sentence thing. You are precious in my eyes. And this girl burst into tears and shared her entire life with Chris Rook on that porch. She had never done that with any of the staff. To that extent. But God took what the enemy meant for bad, knocked that wall down, took that impossible, chaotic situation, and opened the door for Chris to minister to that one girl on that porch. That might be the only girl we touched. I don't know. But God made a way in that impossible situation for Chris to minister to that young lady. He shared just a little bit of her story. Basically, it's this. 4-year-old, mom arrested for being a drug addict and dealer, left with dad, who abused her for three or four years, taken away from dad, given to grandparents. So she's like 8 years old, goes to live with the grandparents. Grandparents drag her to church every Sunday. So she knows the word. She was one of the ones quoting me chapter and verse, giving me a pretty direct questioning over the week just to see if she could get me. Runaway, drugs, just defiant, angry young lady. But she opened up for the first time fully, I think, to Chris. Because we had asked, I always ask when I go there the basics of the girls just so I know a little bit of their stories. They said that this young lady had never opened up with anybody before. So God, there is nothing impossible, no impossibles. So as you think of the impossible situations, the walls in your life, I pray that you don't let the enemy or anyone else tell you you can't do something that God's called you to do. We can't let things hold us back that God's told us to do. I also shared with the girls how it's, in their case, it's a little different, but we all deal with things. Some of those impossibles that we have in our life are lies from the enemy, things that we've dealt with, and we kind of stuff them inside us, the angers, the frustrations, all of that stuff. And I encourage the girls to, you know, when you get rid of one of those things, to replace it with some God blessing, some God hope. And I shared the fruits of the Spirit with them. And I used a very simple illustration. I had a plastic bear. And I'd write anger and frustration words on the bear. And I stuffed them all in this bear. And I'd take a piece of paper out, and I'd open it up, and I'd read it. Anger. Anybody got any of that? I'd get rid of it. And then I'd pick up a good word, joy, peace, and I'd put it inside. Just to show them that you can get rid of those walls. You can get rid of that stuff. And over the course of the week, some of the girls are, you know, giving me words. They're like, yeah, I got some of that anger. What can you got for it? So how about hope? How about faith? It opened up so many conversations, I can't even recall them all. God took down some walls, allowed us to minister. Just in closing, band, you can come back up. But we serve a God of the impossible. I want you to remember that. Nothing is impossible with God. No wall can stand against His power. We are all called to action. God has enabled us and empowered us to reach the lost. No matter how you're called to do that, I encourage you to do it. There is no hopelessness unless we lose sight of God. We lose sight of God, now we have hopelessness. John James, the guy I talked about, had it all, lost sight of God, had a gun to his head, was going to end his life. He was hopeless. He had let the walls come down against him. He had a phone call as he has the gun to his head. And he stopped. And he went back home, mended his fences, got right with God. And now he's sharing his ministry, that testimony, with young people around the world. So God took his impossible, he was done, and now has turned it into a ministry. God has something for all of us. I don't know what God has next for me, but I know I am now because you're all going to hold me accountable. I am going to use that stupid passport. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. I'm going to knock that wall down and see what God has next. I don't know where I'll be working next week. I don't care. I may not be working next week. It doesn't matter. Because God is revealing Himself and calling me to do other things. If I'm not working next week, I'm going to go do something for God. I might be down here pulling weeds. I don't care. But don't let the walls stop you from doing what you know you should be doing. That's my encouragement for today. I hope at Hope Hill we knocked down a few walls and gave those girls a glimmer of hope for the week. I hope I've done the same for you today. This message was not about Hope Hill, although that helped play into it. This message is about each of us doing what God's called us to do and not letting the enemy tell us it's impossible. Nothing is impossible. Okay, you guys got the stage.